Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? Yeah. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the Off Ramp, April 29, 2021. Hope wherever you're at, you're in good spirits, good health. Hope the weather's good. Things just heating up in America for some of us, for most of us, I would think for all of us. Hope you're enjoying your day. Hope you enjoyed your week. It's been a week since we wrapped. Y'all had an interesting discussion last week. Probably going to be a little bit lighter this week, I think. There's a lot of stuff that happened this week. Shock G pass, we can talk about that. DMX's funeral happened, Black Rob pass. So that probably going to be lighter, but, you know, we can touch on that for a quick second. But the NFL draft is on, so it's always tough when I do the show during the NFL draft because as a football fan, I kind of want to see where cats go. Like, I love college football, watch college football. I'm probably one of the few people who seek out, like different, like, college football games. Like, when BYU played Coastal Carolina, like, I was excited to sit in front of the TV and watch that. I'm probably not one of the few. I mean, football is a America sport, so I'm pretty sure there's other people like me. But, you know, I kind of like to see where these kids go and see how their career is gonna start. And, you know what I mean? And it's all just a projection because you never really know. But it is the NFL draft, so my eyes will be locked in as we talk tonight. But I'm going to do my best to keep all the at least 80% of my attention on the show. Hope we have some laughs tonight. Let's have a good discussion. Let's have, you know, some good thought-provoking discussion. Let's try not to fight tonight. I don't care if we fight or not, but let's try to have good conversation and have some jokes and some laughs. If you want to call in, as always, 929-477-3975. Again, that's 929-477-3975. You can holler at us on all the social media stuff, and I probably will never respond. But I appreciate y'all hitting me up. I appreciate all the listens, all the comments, and all that good stuff. And we'll start it like that, and then let's introduce everybody that's out here that's on the show, and I'm sure there'll be more people calling in, and we'll get it popping that way. So, without any further ado, DJ C. Siren, welcome to the Off Ramp. How you holding up tonight?
All right. Good evening.
You had a long week. You ready? You got the weekend off this weekend. You going? There's a lot of friends in. You gonna be partying? What you got? What you got popping?
Apparently not.
Painting and babysitting. Well, you ain't really going to be babysitting. You ain't going to be doing nothing.
Nope.
What's she complaining for? But, so you excited to be painting this weekend? You excited to change the color of the downstairs?
Nope. Not to a color I want it to be, too. Go to. Not exciting.
Changing the money green, though, baby.
Yeah, as long as
we're getting
money. Yeah.
Ho, welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, bro. I'm good, man. Waiting for the Eagles to draft Trask with their 12th pick.
All right, I just muted Ho. We don't appreciate slander on the offering. We don't need that type of slander. So F Ho. We'll come back to him now.
That's foul, dude.
I didn't really use you. Put yourself on mute with all that noise in the background. What you got going on, man? You had a kids' practice?
Watching the draft, dude.
You at the crib?
That was just the noise in the background. I'm at the crib.
Okay, okay. Keeping it domestic. I like it. I like it. Got my man New York, New York on the line. New York, welcome to the off-ramp. How you holding up?
Can't call it, can't call it. Everything goes popping with the population.
Not much, my brother. You sound, you ain't going to make it tonight, yo. You sound tired, yo. You had a long week, B?
Nah, I just hit this bottle early. That's all. What you going for?
Yeah, I can't wait for the day you stop drinking Henny. Like, you don't think it's going to happen, but one of these days, somebody's going to put you on to a nice whiskey, and you're going to be like, you know what? I'll let Henny relax for a little bit. Like, when that day happens, like, I'm going to buy you a bottle of whatever you start drinking.
Yo, you want to start, you want to start that right now? Because I'm drinking Douce right now, you know?
I see. I'm telling you, it happens. As you get older, you start drinking other stuff, man. It happens. But I got you. I got you on a bottle of Hovey juice. Pause. All right, got my man Blur. Blur, welcome to the off ramp. As always, my brother. How you doing tonight? Blur, you got us on mute.
Oh, so yeah, I did have y'all on mute. My bad. Yeah, man, blessed and highly favored. Great day out here in the Lou. I mean, I just watched the Cassidy Hitman Holla battle yesterday, so I'm feeling energized to, like, repping the second home right now. Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't know people still watch battle rap.
Really? I think it's probably at its peak right now.
Look, see, this is something we can talk about. See, I'm glad I ain't the only one. See, I'll be watching Stack DVDs and all that, too. You heard?
Smack DVDs were a classic. They're definitely great. But I didn't realize that there's a market for people to just sit there and watch battle rap. Now, I do enjoy them sometimes, but after a while, it's like, okay. Like, when they're funny, I like them. But you can't keep talking about how you're going to shoot people and then y'all going to go to the club later and spend it.
Well, you need to watch more battle rap then, because they have definitely expanded. They, yeah, especially the top people, man. Yeah, they definitely expanded. In fact, most battle rappers clown battle rappers for all the gun talk. Like, there'll be a whole round just on that. So, yeah, I think you need to get back into it, man.
All right, man. Well, so who won?
You know what is funny? Because everybody been saying since the battle, like, they don't show it, like, because it's, like, pay-per-view, so they don't show it right away. But everybody was saying Hitman Holla lost or Cassidy won. More so Hitman Holla lost because he didn't destroy Cassidy. Cassidy, like, he'd been back in the battle rap scene, I think, like, for a couple of months now, maybe a year or so. And he's been embarrassed his first three battles. So this was his fourth battle back. And they're like, yo, you didn't embarrass him. And since you ain't embarrass him, you didn't embarrass him, technically you lost. I don't really abide by those standards of judgment. So I still got Hitman Holla winning 2-1, even though it was probably a little bit too close. Looking at all Cassidy's past performances, yeah, Hitman really should have destroyed him, but he just squeaked out a win, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, yeah, send me the battle. Let me see if I can check it out. And we got, got my man M Extra Money on the line. M Extra, welcome to the off-ramp. As always, my brother, how you holding up tonight?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I can't complain, man. Can't complain. You watch any battle rap?
I saw the promo for that, like Bro was mentioning, but I did not go back and try to find it to watch it. But I will check it out, though.
Like, what is this? Come on, like BET3? Like
BET3, really?
BET the O Show. What is battle rap? Come on, like honestly, like now I'm cracking jokes. Is this just a YouTube thing, or is this like you watching on TV?
It's pay per view.
No.
Like you gotta get it on either the Triller app or the Caffeine app. It's like normal pay per view stuff.
Oh, so the same dude who does the YouTube fighters fights does the battle rap stuff?
I think so.
That's all true,
so,
right?
Yeah, so.
Go ahead.
So Smack, right? So yeah. So the Smack DVD, Smack actually, yeah, I mean, he got his he got the whole league on Caffeine, the Caffeine app. He got a Caffeine app. So about like every 2 weeks, he hosts like major events. Like every 2 weeks is probably like a battle going on. Like in the next 2 weeks, you're gonna see like another tournament coming on Caffeine. For the platform, but there's other platforms. You got a URL TV app, you know what I mean? That's exclusive battles that you sign up, $79 a month for that. But other battle leagues, you can catch them on YouTube, for real. They just drop, like, a bunch of battles on YouTube, for real.
Yeah, so you can pay pay-per-view when they first come out, but if you don't watch it, like the Cassidy Hitman battle was, like, 2 months ago. But if you don't catch it, then it go live, it go free on YouTube in, like, a month and a half after the event.
Now, when you say pay-per-view, like what do you mean? Like, so I remember pay-per-view where, like, you know, it would show up as, like, a ribbon in your guide for pay-per-view, and you would click and pay it. Are you saying, like, battle rappers show up there? Or is there a certain service? Like, do you need this Caffeine app to pay to watch it?
Like, I don't know about your guide. I don't know if it's just like a TV guide, but yeah, you do have to have the app. Like, you have to have either the Caffeine app on your TV or your phone or whatever you use to watch your digital entertainment. And so Caffeine, I think, got Smack. But the other league, like some of the leagues do come on Triller. So if you got the Triller app for the thing, then you'll go to your Triller app. And I guess wherever that league or that event has it on. So, yeah, I guess you can't just go to a TV guide and click pay-per-view. I don't know. You might. I don't know if Triller might be on certain cable providers. I guess it depends on your cable provider.
Well, my cable got all the channels. So next time a battle rap comes on, let me know because I want to see if I get it or not. If I don't get it, I need a refund from my cable provider.
Well, no, when I say cable apps, I mean, like, do you get the pay-per-view stuff? Like, did you get the Jake Paul or Logan Paul, whoever, did you get their fight on your joint?
See, I didn't even know that fight happened, and we can go into that.
Yeah, we do.
I watched it. I didn't. Oh, go ahead, M Extra.
No, we do. It shows.
Oh, that's all. I thought he was gonna go into something, man. I was ready to take a bite out of my
salad.
No,
I'm just saying, cause he asked if we got it on our joint. I'm just saying we do.
So, yeah, if you got that, then, yeah, you'll probably have the battles, too, when they happen.
All right, so next time there's a battle rap, let me know. I doubt I'll watch it, but I'll at least try to check it out. Because, when it comes to rap, I like the trash talk back and forth. And battle rap used to be interesting. I mean, I used to watch it, you know, back in the day, watch all the battles on YouTube when YouTube got popular back in my old college days, but I don't know much of the new guys. So, I mean, it'd be interesting. So just all right, Blair, let me know next time a battle rap comes on, man. I'll watch it and we can discuss it on the pod. Hov, you in the battle rap?
Man, I haven't seen a battle rap since like the early 2000s, though.
So that's a no.
Didn't know it was still something that people were watching. To be honest with you.
Yeah, hey, look, New York, and Blur is putting us on, man. So we gotta have a battle rap segment next time. All right, cool.
I think it's come. They try to make it a little bit more commercial than what it was back in the day, where you just kind of like at a hole in the wall, just challenge somebody, and then y'all just kind of went at it, right? I think now they're trying to like make it like a big thing. Like, that's why the whole pay-per-view thing is going on. Money is up on the line. You know what I mean? They're trying to make it a thing, not just like where it was just pure, you know what I mean? Like, you people went to battle rap to sign their next Biggie or Jay or something, right? Like, it's not that anymore. It's just, this is what people actually are trying to do for a living. And they're just in that circuit, just trying to, you know what I mean, kind of make money from that all, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that's why, well, I don't know why y'all haven't heard about it, because it's kind of bigger than what it was even back in the day. So my only thing about it is that, and the reason why I don't really like watching it live is because they stop and repeat the same thing like 5 and 6 times because everybody be screaming and shit. You can't even hear them. So they got to like start over and start in the middle of shit. Like, I'd rather watch it where it's not live, so I can skip through all that so I don't have to hear the same line, you know what I mean, like eight times and shit.
That's the beautiful thing about this environment. Because if you download the Caffeine app, like I said, it's like every like 2 weeks, URL throw like a little battle rap event. And this environment is the pandemic environment. You got to rap. There's no starting over in the middle of the year round because people yelling. It's no crowds. It's like a minimum crowd. You really got to rap in this environment. It goes back to like those nitty gritty back in the day on the corner. Like you really got to spit. Really, you actually got to really rap. There's no filler. You can't pass in this environment with no filler. You actually got to really rap. You actually got to have talent in this environment. So, yeah. Those big stages were long because of COVID.
Yeah, I definitely got checked out. That was my whole thing. Like, I was like, man, the thick-ass crowd, you got to start over again. But if he's saying that changed, then I definitely got to. Because I do have that subscription and shit, so that's how I know about all of them.
I will say this, though, before you move on, guys, because, like you mentioned, said, I think it really is a lot bigger now than it has been. And, I mean, I know, like, from listening to cats on podcasts and everything, like, yeah, this is their job. They're like, some cats not trying to break out into the music industry and get signed. Like, it's just, they're just right. battle rappers. $150,000, $200,000 per year. That's like, I mean, for three battles a year, like that's their profession, professional battle rappers. And then you got, and I'm surprised that y'all didn't know what's still going on because Eminem did the movie. He did a whole movie about battle rap. And Method Man just did a battle rap joint. Like, it was a promotional, I don't know if it was a promotional thing, but he did a whole thing where he battled, I can't remember, somebody, and they put that out. And Lupe did a whole, like, battle rap thing. Well, his was on, like, Instagram Live or something where he just did his, like, they went round for round, and he just put his joint out there. So, like, yeah, like, these battle rappers, like, Wild 'N Out got battle rappers on there, so... Like, they're becoming a lot more mainstream, and obviously the money is getting a lot higher than when, I mean, just people battle rapping in the whatever pop-up shop they can on a weekend.
Yeah. There's no way you're telling me that 8 Mile is about battle rapping.
No, not 8 Mile. Well, it is actually about battle rap, but no, not 8 Mile. The movie that he produced or whatever afterward was specifically about a white battle rapper or whatever.
Then why do you want to say 8 Mile's about battle rapping? 8 Mile has nothing to do with battle rapping except for the climax of the last scene. The movie is not about battle rapping. We're not going to argue about
it. It's about white dudes, like, whatever his life. It's like
it's not about battle rap.
Like, coming up through battle rap or whatever it is.
But it's not about battle rap.
All right, that's like...
Hold on.
I ain't about to argue. But is Any Given Sunday about football, or is it about old boy, Willie Beeman?
Is any
That's
given
a good comparison.
Yes, it's about football.
You can't say it's 8 Mile's about battle, and it's not about battle rap. If that's
yes,
your stance about Any Given Sunday, then you can't say that 8 Mile's not about battle rapping. Then.
Yes, I can. Battle rap was 2 minutes out the whole movie. Football was in the entire movie of Any Given Sunday.
No, you're bugging. What are you talking about?
Have y'all watched 8 Mile? There was only two. Yes. There was only two battle rap scenes. Why are we even having this discussion?
Bro,
there was only two battle rap scenes.
Let me finish.
And make sure I'll let you respond. The two battle rap scenes. The only two battle rap scenes in 8 Mile were when it comes to Eminem. Because it's his movie, the only two battle rap scenes that he's involved in is one by the lunch truck with Exhibit and one at the end. The rest of the stuff, it wasn't about battle rapping. It was really about...
You just said that's his two raps. That's just him. There were other people rapping in the movie.
The movie's about him. It's not about him battle rapping. It's just about him rapping. I mean, I guess it's semantics. Okay, well, let's take a poll.
How you gonna take a poll after you finish talking, but you don't let nobody else talk? How you taking a poll?
Well, Blur just talked, so I let somebody else talk. I just forgot that you wanted to talk, so go ahead and make sure.
all my point is that Any Given Sunday was about a lot of stuff off the field that translated on the field, right? So if you're going to say, because a lot of stuff that happened in 8 Mile did translate into the battle rapping scenes. Yeah, were there only 2 main battle rap scenes? Yes. But you also saw the process of him trying to make it, him writing rhymes, his friends out here asking if he was going to get back into the battle rap scene, if he was going to, you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff that you saw that with the filler in the movie was all about the fact of these 2 battle rap scenes. And the same thing as Any Given Sunday. All the shit that was going on prior to the 2 NFL games that you saw, or the 2 games that you saw him perform in, right? It's the same equivalent of you talking about those 2 battle rap scenes. So if you're going to say Any Given Sunday is about football, then you can't say now 8 Mile isn't about the battle rap, because Any Given Sunday only showed about 2 to 3 games, snippets of them. It was more about the off stuff that happened and the personal shit that was going on behind the scenes or behind the football game. That's my point. So you can't say
one thing
is about all football and then the one is not all about battle rap. You gotta compare both.
I disagree.
These are stories about people told through. Stories about Willie Beeman the character told through football. This is a story about Beeb Rabbit told through battle rap, told through his journey through battle rap. They're not about those specific things. They're about the individuals, but they're told through these devices, through football, through battle rap, through anything.
But that's a different discussion. If you're asking me, is 8 Mile about battle rapping? My answer is no. If you're asking me if Any Given Sunday is about football, I'm answering yes. If you say, is 8 Mile about rap? I'm saying yes. But battle rap is definitely different than just rap. It's a faction of it. It's a part of it. But if my comparison that I would tell MXer that I think is the same is Any Given Sunday about football? Yes. Is 8 Mile about rap? Yes. Is there other stuff that goes along with it? Absolutely. But if you're specifically saying battle rap, then I don't think that 8 Mile is about battle rap, in my opinion.
You take
just my opinion.
You take the battle rap scenes out of 8 Mile, you don't have a movie, bro.
I mean, you take the football scenes out of Any Given Sunday, you don't have a movie. What kind of sense does that make?
And that's my point. That's my point.
Well, I would actually disagree. I think if you take the football scenes out of Any Given Sunday, you'll still have a movie. You just have to, like, hint at it. Like, the show that was on ESPN about football, about the NFL, the little fake show, they had, like, one scene of football, and they would just replay that scene in every episode. And as you know, you just see the people walking into the locker room or in the locker room after practice. I mean, so you could still get through a movie without actually showing too much football.
I mean, you can get through a movie without showing too much rap about rap. I mean, that movie, the 40-year-old version, was about her aspiration to become a rapper. It wasn't that much rap in it. But, hey, if we disagree, I want to take this poll real quick. Poll. Is 8 Mile about battle rap?
I mean, I'd say a big part of the movie is about battle rapping. Like, because that's what B-Rabbit was into. You know what I mean? Like, of course, there were other parts to it, but I think overall, like, I think you said 2 scenes, but there had to be at least 3 because they had the food truck, he choked the first time, and then the one at the end.
Well, specifically talking about
him rapping. So there was at
least 3, right? Well, I was talking about him rapping it. So he rapped him, too. There were other scenes with him at that little, you know, I mean, like in the beginning where everybody's in there rapping and all that stuff, but he's not a part of it. The 2 times that he choked, the 1 time at the truck where he really battled somebody, the old gay dude. Well, he battled Exhibit about the old gay dude, and at the end.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Are we going to talk about how the Captain America was in 8 Mile?
No one's
gonna bring that up. Like, he hit a hell of a come up. Clarence Parents is a real good marriage. Hey, New York was so Hove, you gave me a bullshit answer. Was 8 Mile about battle rap, yes or no?
All right, let me ask you this. Now, if you say it's not, let me know just what you say it's about. You say it's just about rap? Like, what's my alternative?
No, there is no alternative. I'm just taking a poll. Was 8 Mile about battle rap? Do I think 8 Mile is about battle rap? No, I think it's about this kid's story of overcoming his stage fright fear of rapping in front of people and learning how to navigate being a father and having and living in a poor city.
That's a bullshit ass answer, bro. Come on, man.
He had no motivation to get on stage to rap about nobody until the other man smashed this shorty, man. That's what got me so tight, and now he won't rap.
Are you kidding me right now? Are you really telling me we're mixing words about whether it's you really thought that that whole movie had to do with how M and was taking care of living in a trailer park and taking care and didn't want his daughter or his sister at that time because he didn't even talk about his daughter. Really? Y'all really thought that that shit was right about all I'm talking about with the bullshit ass answer is because you said it's not about battle rap. It's about rap. It's battle rap, bro. You can't be out here talking about battle rap. It's all the same shit. That's like me saying, and you talk about it's not about a football game. It's about the offense. What? It's the fucking it's football.
See, I disagree. Battle rap, it's all rap. I disagree, but when you say battle rap, that's like saying to me, Any Given Sunday was about Willie Beeman's offensive prowess. No, it was about football. It was about rap. That's my generalization. Hey, we're not going to agree, and that's cool.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get the poll. Hove, I need you to answer this question so I can go to New York. I'm trying to get a poll. Hove
answered you, man.
He's trying to discredit his answer, yo.
No, he asked, "What's my alternative?" That's not answering the question. I haven't asked him or tried to convince him. He asked what I thought. I just want to know. Is 8 Mile about battle rap?
I mean, yes, but it's not only about battle rap. Like, I feel like your answer was like, "Yeah, it's about battle rap." And it's about him growing up in his poor circumstance. Like when you say his stage fright about rapping against somebody else, that's battle rapping. Like, I don't know how else you.
Thank you.
I didn't say about
yes, you
somebody.
Did.
I should put some, no, I did not. I said in front of people. It wasn't about him rapping about someone else. It was just him being able to get up on the stage and rap in front of people. It didn't matter if someone was there or not. I mean, it didn't matter if he was against somebody or not. It was just him having stage fright against his rapping. But cool, you answered the question. You think 8 Mile's about battle rap. I disagree. New York, New York. So that's one for M Extra and Blur. New York, New York. Do you think 8 Mile's about battle rap?
Look, I'm going to have to agree because outside of Makai fights his dreads, Shannon Bob shooting himself in the leg, homie getting his girlfriend smashed. What else can you think of in that movie? Other than the rap scene, the battle rap. I got to go with that.
All right, well, I'm outnumbered. Yeah, I reserve the right for y'all, all of y'all to be wrong. It's cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Can we just pivot right into Random Math? Yeah, because we didn't get to talk about it last week.
Go ahead, MX. So everybody done, y'all all done being. Oh well, let me ask DJ C Siren since she just walked in. I don't want to leave her out the poll. DJ C Siren, and y'all gonna laugh at this. Do you think 8 Mile is about battle rap?
I've never seen 8 Mile.
Yo, you set her up.
What? Yo, take the DJ off her name. She can't be DJ C Siren no more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She's just C Siren.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Blur likes the whites.
Hey, what?
That's the enemy of hip hop.
Hold on.
I've seen Wild Style, so can I keep DJ?
Hey, I like the whites too. What's wrong with a Blur? right, hey, I reserve the right for all y'all to be wrong, man. But it's all good. It's all good. I can't believe we spent a half hour on battle rap and anybody. That's why I love this show, man.
I don't even like battle rap. Why
are you yelling at my friends? You don't even listen to battle rap. All right, why are you judging my friends? Get your judgment
why
out.
Don't get
sensitive with my friends. All right, I love my friends.
Go
ahead, yo, Extra.
Red and Meth. Yeah, that was the best 420 ever. Period. Best 420. Total vibe. All about classics. They was putting them on the spot, which I love. Red Man, I think, was on coke. And Meth wasn't high enough. But all in all, it was a whole vibe, yeah. It was crazy. Got high as shit, too. It was a whole vibe, yeah. I think that was the best 420 ever, yeah. They need to do it every 420.
Ho, what you think about the Red Man 420 Instagram show?
The Eagles just traded with the Cowboys.
That's what he thinks.
My bad. I mean, it was solid. I think MXer, I don't know about the greatest ever. Like, it was good, though. I liked it.
That's for 420.
Like,
just for 420. Let me preface that.
I mean, that's not a day that I've ever, like, celebrated. So I don't know. But it was good. Like, I liked it.
You never
see that's what I would say. See, if you wasn't celebrating, then I can see your point. Because if I wasn't celebrating, I probably would say the same thing. But if you were celebrating, though, it was a whole vibe.
I disagree.
You weren't
celebrating. It was still good. It was still, I thought it was a vibe. I think it was one of the best verses. Not just 420.
But, DJ, how many have you watched?
Maybe five.
So about five of them. I mean, that's still a good amount. I mean, it's a whole lot of them, but you know what I mean. But that's
yeah,
our age bracket. So
yeah, I wasn't comparing them to the rest of the verses though. I'm just saying 420 for what it was for 420. You celebrate and then you had that type of performance on 420 without you being in like Colorado or somewhere where they actually do these live concerts and you attended one of their live concerts that they typically do. But to be able to actually experience that without having to go to like Colorado to see them to perform, because they usually typically would go to like Colorado with that big festival and then they'll be there. So if you weren't ever experiencing that, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying from a 420 perspective, one that dabbles in that, one that like was higher, you know what I mean, and was able to see that type of performance, that's what I was talking about. I'm not comparing like their versus like the Isley Brother versus or, you know what I mean, somebody else's verses. I'm just talking about 420, period.
New York, what did you think about the verses? Did you watch it? Or was it two old buddy duddies? I mean, not from New York.
I was on the road that day.
You was in a room? Like you got kidnapped?
No, I was on the road that day. No, I was on the road.
Okay.
Driver.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Make a money. I ain't mad at you, hustler. Blur, what'd you think about Red and Meth?
I mean, it was cool. I ain't going for it. I was not celebrating 420. I don't partake. But it was cool. I mean, it was a nice little concert. I like that Red Man was rocking the shirt. It goes Reggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, and Biggie. So, yeah, I like that. I mean, I like hearing some of the classic songs that I like. I mean, I wouldn't put it. And I know MS said he wouldn't compare it to other verses. I wouldn't put it up there as, like, the top three verses performances or anything, but it was a good show. Had this been, like, a BET special or something, because that's what it looked like when I was watching it on YouTube, had this been, like, hey, just BET celebrating Red and Meth or something like that, yeah, I would have loved it. It would have been great. So, yeah, it was good. It was cool.
Yeah, I mean, as a – Did I get everybody? I think everybody. So, yeah, I mean, I loved it, but I'm biased. Like, I'm a huge fan of – I hate the Eagles, man. The Eagles break my heart. I'm a huge fan of Redman. I think, you know, meth is good, but, you know, I'm always going to side with Redman. I think that versus proved that Redman is a far better lyricist than Method Man, but it also proved how great of an entertainer Method Man was. Like, it was a great show, but I like verses when you're going at each other. And this wasn't them going at each other. Now, I'd pay good money to see Redman Method in a concert any day. And I don't even like going to concerts. DJ C. Siren will tell you that. I'm not even a huge fan of concerts. But I would pay to go see them perform because, you know, they have a great chemistry. They both have great catalogs. I mean, that meth catalog, like, I mean, his first album is considered a classic. A lot of people didn't like Tikal 2000, but I thought it was enjoyable. But he's pulling everything from the Wu category. And I think Redman, the Eagles pick is in, so sorry. But I think Redman has four classic albums. I think Redman.
Let me ask you a question. You said that that the verses showed that Redman is a better lyricist than Method Man. Has that ever been in question? Like that just seems like that's a known fact.
See, I don't know because
I didn't think that was a question either.
See, I don't know because
has that ever?
Like, and I have to go ahead, Ed Meister.
No, I'm just asking. Like, to his question. I mean, I know you say you're biased, but I'm that's a legit question though. That Blur said, because I mean
Method Man's considered
question.
A more successful. We got a wide receiver. We got the 135 pounds. But we got a.
I think Meth is definitely, and Redman even said this. He acknowledged the fact that he's definitely more known, right? He's known. He has the more, you know, he's done the movie thing. He's kind of a bigger star. He's a bigger deal, right, than Redman. But I don't think anybody would disagree that or challenge the fact that Redman is Method Man is a better lyricist than Redman does. Biased or not, I just think that's just facts.
Most people will tell you, though, that Method Man is a more successful rapper than Redman. Like, most people look at Method Man's, like, with Wu.
But is they tied that to Wu-Tang?
Yeah, he's part of Wu-Tang.
Okay.
And he's on
practice. No, yeah, but even successful don't mean better.
Right.
That's true. But, see, I have to recognize my bias because I am a Redman fan. Like, I never want to meet Redman because I'm such a huge fan of his. I never want to meet Pusha T. Because I'm such a huge fan of his. I never want to meet Biggie. I mean, he's dead, so I can't meet him. But, like, even in heaven, I would avoid him just because he's a dickhead because of how much I'm a fan of his. Go ahead, DJ.
Winning on deep balls. I swear it's been balls deep. Anyway, so just to interrupt, you're right. And I think in terms of just general population or just people in general, they're gonna claim Method Man before Redman. I think there is more of a universal appeal. I think. I mean, I'm speaking.
And bitches love Method Man. I don't mean bitches in a bad way.
In terms of women.
Well, it could be gay men.
Like,
gay men could be bitches too.
I felt like it was Redman slander. Like nobody was like I was loving Redman, but all the girls on my timeline was talking about Method Man. I love Method Man. Well, lyric-wise, I mean, Method Man's not, I mean, you know, he's in the middle of a Wu-Tang and he is definitely a lot lower when it comes to Redman. So Redman, definitely, yeah, I think it was proven. But, I mean, but Method Man's still puts on the show. But you're right. I think more people are going to see Method Man. But it's not true.
RZA even said it. When he was like forming Wu-Tang, Meth was for the hooks and for the women and the children.
Well, Wu-Tang is for the show. Hey, watch y'all background noise. Y'all got to hit mute because y'all watching the draft. Hit mute on your end.
I mean, Method Man is basically was like one step higher than the Old Dirty. I mean.
Well, Meth wrote Old Dirty lyrics.
So, I mean, Meth was like, yeah, singing hooks and humming.
I mean.
And the only reason why.
Hold on.
First single because so it was singable.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this question, man, because I'm curious now. DJ C. Siren and everybody, right? Because I feel like when Wu came out, you know what I mean, Meth definitely, even though, you know, a lot of Raekwon and a lot of the behind the scenes with the beats and the production, that I think to me it definitely changed the game, right? But Meth took off when he went with Mary and he started, like, showing that he was just different than the rest of them, right? But you said one step above their ODB. So do you really think, like, he was the bottom of the chain in Wu-Tang?
No, I said middle.
Who?
That was just my joke.
Who's the bottom?
I thought you said...
Like
no,
because I could have sworn I heard her say that he was one step above ODB. Hold on. Because you and DJ C. Siren were talking at the same time, so I want to make this. I just want to ask this question. MX Your Money. Who's the bottom of Wu Tang?
I think it would be ODB.
Whoa! Hold on. Let's go through this.
Yeah.
Who's the bottom of Wu Tang?
And I love ODB, but I just would.
My bad. I haven't been paying attention at all, man. I've been watching the draft. What are we talking about?
Yeah, who's the worst
bottom of ODB?
Who's the worst?
Yeah. Are we talking about the original?
I mean, we count ODB.
We talking about the original, right?
Yeah, ODB's in there, too. I don't know what MX is talking about. MX, he's sliding in.
ODB's the worst.
So my apologies.
Not Holmes co-signed it. Holmes just co-signed it.
ODB is the worst rapper in Wu.
Who would disagree? Hov said ODB. MX said ODB. Hold on. Blur, who's the worst rapper in because Blur, you jumped in. Who's the worst rapper in Wu Tang?
RZA.
New York. You're from New York. Who's the worst rapper in Wu Tang?
I was going to say You Got.
Yeah.
See, and I don't know if I really consider You God, because I don't really think he rapped all that
often. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that could be the problem.
I wasn't considering You God.
Hold on. We can't all talk at the same time. I can't believe this is a popular subject. I really can't. And I got my man Crispy Bacon on the line. My man Crispy Bacon.
Hold on.
I don't know if you want to. Hold on. Let me get my. I got a new call. I got another caller on the line. Let me just get him in that mixture. I'm coming right back to you. I promise you, my brother. I just want to get my man on the line. My man Crispy Bacon is here. Shout out to my man Crispy Bacon. We're going to talk about the submarine and the stuff in a minute. But, hey, who's the worst rapper in Wu-Tang?
I know nothing about this subject. Like, I am very white, and I am not a problem, like, disclosing that.
Well, good hearing from you, man. Hey, you're unmuted on my end. Just watch your background noise. We'll get back to you in a second, man. It's good to hear your voice, man. I'm glad you're safe, my brother. So, Crispy Bacon got no opinion on Wu-Tang because he doesn't know anything about Wu-Tang. So we got New York. New York pick You Got. M-Extra picked ODB. Ho picked ODB. Blur, who'd you pick?
I picked RZA.
So we got one vote for RZA. I would say You Got too. Is that everybody? So, okay, man, how do we settle this? Because You Got.
But hold on, like, are we counting You Got and Master Killer? Like, because those are the two dudes who are technically members, but don't really rap. Like.
That's what I was
saying.
They
don't
saying.
Do like that.
I didn't really include him.
You guys on every album.
I know, but I didn't really. Okay. All right. Well, that's true. I mean, I guess. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I really didn't
include him.
Yeah, like I didn't even think about him. I'm thinking, hold on, this is what I thought. I was thinking Method, ODB, RZA, Ghostface, Raekwon, GZA, Capadonna, expected that. I wasn't even thinking Master Killer or you guys.
Neither was I. I was only counting like the main eight and nine.
No,
that's why I said ODB.
Go ahead, DJ C-Sign.
You guys always named as original, y'all. Okay? He's been there since the beginning, and he's always been an original. Master Killer, maybe not so much.
Because Master Killer came in with Gravedigger. Right. That's a little bit later.
Well,
he was in there early, but he wasn't on the original album.
Right, exactly. So
he didn't come into Wu-Tang Forever.
So you're right. So Master Killer, no. But if you do the original, they name their names all the time in every daggone song. So it's you, God. Ghostface Killer, the RZA, Pajizza, Old Dirty
Bastard, Inspector Deck, Raekwon Michelle. Master Killer was original.
Ghostface Killer and Method Man. That's the original eight. And yes, You God is included. He's on the bottom.
Has anybody ever listened to You God's album?
Did he have one?
Yeah, he had an album. I only know that because of the documentary. I said, oh shit, they got him in. Hey, hold on. I got a special guest. Oh, shit. I hit FaceTime. Hey, I'm sorry. I got a special guest. Man, yo, this is why I got to stop drinking. So I have a Wu-Tang expert on the line, right? Weezy, you are live.
What's going on? What's going on?
Not much, but I have a question for you. This is important because you are one of the biggest Wu-Tang fans I know. Right. Once we get past Cash Money, Wu-Tang is your next crew. Who? Stop laughing, M. Actually, because no one gets how funny
I'll
that
take
is.
That.
Me and
I'll take that.
Hey, who is the worst rapper in Wu-Tang? No one say anything. Let Weezy figure this out. Who is the worst rapper in Wu-Tang?
The Inspector Deck.
Wow, he picked none of them. He picked none of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
man.
Our argument was between You God and ODB. So who's better, You God or ODB?
ODB. Who on earth would say ODB is a terrible rapper? Y'all don't even understand the Wu at that point if you're not fucking with ODB. Are you kidding me?
The question was the question.
He was in the conversation.
Hold on. The question wasn't. The question wasn't. Is he awful? Do you never? Because that was a classic album. I listened to Return to all the time. That's not the case. But when you compare him to Meth, RZA, GZA, the people who I was compared to, because I didn't even think of Master Killer, You God. I wasn't even.
So you changed your answer?
Pick all the rest of them. I'm just saying, no. Well, yes, if we're going to include You God and fucking Master Killer, then yeah, I will put them two at the bottom, then ODB. That's exactly that would be my bottom three. And then everybody else at the top.
Yeah,
and I
well,
guess you
I mean,
can't even talk about Capadonna. You can't talk about Capadonna because he wasn't really a one person. But again, he had the best line. He had the best verse. And you know what I mean? He had one of the best verses out there, though.
Yeah, Capadonna always came up with the quotables.
Yeah, he sucked too. Like we gotta have an honest conversation. Like Wu-Tang was only about 50-50 good rappers. Like there's a lot of Wu-Tang. They're only batting about 20%.
Yeah, but let me say this.
Right.
If you call me on as the expert witness here, Wu-Tang is a group. They're an amazing group. They form like Voltron, man. Like they said, they form like Voltron. It is what it is. You know what I mean? Everybody plays a part. Like Method Man said the other day, they're all generals. You know what I mean? You can't really try and split them up, even though I know people do. But if you're talking Wu-Tang, you got to talk the collective. And, yeah, you can go back and forth and pick out individuals, but everybody plays their role. Hey, that's like saying who's the best in OutKast.
It's easy, big boy. But are they the greatest rap group ever?
I can't get into that debate. I mean, I wouldn't say yes to that.
What the fuck you got to do? I
haven't done my research on that, but I would put them up there, but, you know, like, you got, like, Tribe Called Quest and OutKast I just mentioned. I mean,
We talking about
yeah,
Duo?
I don't think.
You need to have this. Let's have this debate.
Well, Duo was a group, so I would think you have to count, like, that's a group, two people or more.
No, Duo, two. Because I was thinking about this on the Red and Meth thing, too. I was thinking about this during the verses, too, so it kind of all applies. I was thinking about the duos because they brought out EPMD, and I was like, damn, yo, they – EPMD, yo, they – yo, are they the best duo? Like, I don't know. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then I was like, well, shit, man, do you even count Red and Meth as a duo? Then I was like, man, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm a Mob fan, so, you know, I'm always going to put them up there. But they ain't the best, but I just, you know, I'm biased, and I will always put them, like, top three. But EPMD – They got a case. They got a case to be up there. I know everybody's gonna say OutKast and maybe you know, Tribe, but EPMD, you know, they got a case.
I mean, I think EPMD is probably top 20. I don't know if they're top 10 greatest groups ever. Greatest rap groups, right? So who are we talking about? We're talking about Wu-Tang.
Yeah, rap groups.
Okay, so if we're discussing greatest rap groups ever, Wu-Tang has how many albums as a group?
Oh, so we go.
When they were running around with dinosaurs, that shit was weird.
Yeah, I think it's only like two or three.
So three albums.
But they dropped all double CDs back in the day. So.
Well, they only dropped one double CD.
They had a lot of tracks on their songs, but I mean, a lot of them was garbage. But they put out a lot of music. I'll say that.
So we're talking about greatest groups ever. So Wu-Tang, how many albums has Wu-Tang as a collective had?
I'd have to Google that, but if you're counting, I think you're basically counting one.
Because the double tape, I think. Wu-Tang Forever,
do you count,
like, they need to be one album. If it was one album, it would be like...
Two albums or just one?
No, I mean, I count it as one. I'm just saying, but Life After Death had classics on both. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. To me, Life After Death and Wu-Tang Forever from the same thing. I feel like, yo, if you take all the songs and put them on one, that the classic songs, I think you have like a five-mic album. Classic, instant classic album. But when you consider both of them joints, it's no longer a five mic album. It's like maybe a 3.5 album.
Whoa.
Both of them.
Life After Death?
Yeah. Both of them.
No.
It was just both of them. Yo, I'm saying, that's just me. I think collectively
and
both
of them had a bad bar on it.
The only one song is the singing song that they remade. Player Hater was the only thing that was weird,
kidding?
But if you knew the original song, then you got what they were trying to do. But other than that, Life After Death, and I hate Hypnotize. Like, I hate that as a single. But there's not a bad song on that double disc.
There's not a bad bar on that double disc.
Yeah, that's
I didn't say it was a bad
song.
I just said that it's not a classic. I just said it's 3.5 because it's 5 mics if you take all the classic
three
songs.
3.5 out of 5?
3.5?
Yeah, old school. All old school mics.
You
got
the
Infamous
5
mics.
It's like a Mob Deep album.
If Infamous is 5 mics. The Infamous is 5 mics. It didn't get 5 mics. It didn't get 5 mics when it first came out either. It didn't get 5 mics when it first came out. Let's clear. Back then, old school mics was hard to get 5 mics. Not everybody got 5 mics. They came back and redid it and gave a lot of albums 5 mics. So we need to talk about old school, new school mics now. Everybody didn't get 5 mics now.
The Infamous only got one song that could be added to Life After Death.
All right,
and that's
yeah.
a great album. and I love this.
Okay.
That's a great album.
But Method Man got 5 mics back in the day.
There's only one song on the Infamous that can compete with anything on Life After Death.
Are you kidding me?
Only one.
Are you kidding me? I would give you 3 of them. 4 of them, actually.
I'm listening.
Okay. Shook One. Survival
okay,
of the Fittest. I-4-9.
Nope.
I-4-I.
Nope.
Right Back at You. Right Back at
You. None of them is beat.
Nothing. Wow.
You didn't
okay.
let me finish.
Well, then
none
that,
of that.
That's
none of, nothing but Shook Ones is beating Skies is the Limit.
Okay. That's your body.
That's it? That's it? Yeah, it is my body. I ain't going to lie to you. That is my body.
That's
I,
your
I
body.
I do love Big Damn. All right, so we have gone completely off the rails.
We did.
I ain't heard from Blur.
Well,
I ain't heard from Rogue. I ain't heard from my man Crispy Bacon. We brought in Weezy as a Wu-Tang expert. Go back to sleep, Weezy, or you can always stay on the line. I'll just mess with you. All right, we got to get to some other stuff because we haven't discussed anything that I wanted to talk about. I haven't even asked y'all what y'all wanted to talk about. And it's been an hour. But that's why I love the show. That's why I love y'all. So it's been great. So anybody got anything left on the greatest rap group ever? My vote, Outkast.
Hold on.
I just think they've got,
who's
they've
your
got so many
duo?
Albums
who's your top
together.
Three
that
duo?
Going...
Who's your top
so now
three
we're
duo?
Talking
each of them.
Duo.
Just duo.
So if we're just
two
talking
two.
If we're just talking
two,
two people,
yeah.
Number one, Outkast. Number two, Red and Meth. Number three, I will have to go, oh, that's tough. Maybe Royce and M? Bad Meets Evil?
Are they is that a group, though? Or
they got two
a
albums.
Collab?
They got two albums.
Is that a collab or a group?
They got two albums.
DJ C. Sire, who's your top three?
Top three duos, so just two people. There's got to be somebody I'm forgetting because I'm just not thinking.
Who's just my top?
Because the NWA got a bunch of people. Who's
they're not? Best duo of all
time.
Like, name one. Illegal.
Oh, God. Oh, God. See, this is why. This is why.
who did she say? I didn't hear.
Who knows? Illegal. It's above our age bracket.
No, it's not. You know Jamal. You know Malik. Illegal. Jamal went
okay.
with Redman and the Hit Squad.
Hit Squad. Hey, Hit Squad was dope.
You know what I'm saying? Malik.
Oh, who's, now we're talking duos. Okay, you just made me think of something. Thank God for you, DJ C. Sarah. That's right. So,
hold on, but who was the other one? She's the same one.
Hold on. My top duos. Oh, so Mobb Deep's got to be in there. So my top duos, Outkast. I'll give Mobb Deep next. I'll give Red and Meth.
Dot of Hex.
Oh, man, now you're really talking to me. I was going to say Naughty by Nature.
Beast Bum.
Go ahead, Hope. Go ahead, Hope. Hop in. Cause Naughty by Nature,
so I'm going to throw a name at you. So before you give yours, UGK.
Oh, look, I just discovered. What was that UGK album that you made me listen to that I absolutely adore? Like, that I love that UGK album. Hope, you're absolutely right. Now I got to change it. Outkast. Mobb Deep, UGK.
So we're going to do it all day with this. Keep him in his list. Hey, it's a tough ask.
What is that?
And Clip. Don't forget about Clip.
Who'd you say, Hov?
Clip.
Clip. Oh, but see the Clips. But see, they put out two classic albums that I absolutely love. But I love their mixtapes more than their albums. And that's with Sandman. And that's what my man Ab Liver from Philly. So that I look that more of a quartet. And I love the Clips. Like, I'm a huge fan. I met Malice, and DJ C. Siren got his autograph. And I said, I didn't even want to talk to him because I don't want to meet people that I really enjoy. Again, same thing, because if I find out you're a dickhead, then I got to throw away of my entire like, discography of you. Weezy said he Googled the best duo ever, and it said Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff. That's why I love my brother. He almost got me bit by his dog, by his crippled dog. Like, we got to really discuss how my brother almost got me bit by a crippled dog at his house.
But can you let her finish?
Was it Ron and Dirty?
Let DJ D Sire finish.
Underground
King. I found that album out 2 years ago.
Wow.
Hey,
hold on. So you said Illegal and Underground King?
Hey, hold on, MX. I'm going to get right back to you. Hey.
No, I'm just trying to figure out where she's going to finish.
I know. I'm gonna get right back to you, but I want to let my man know to put his background on mute because I know he out in Virginia Beach. I know he out there partying. He got the family. I want to welcome to the show. I gotta think of a nickname for you. New York.
You could call
taken.
Me Jay Gatsby.
Jay Gatsby, welcome to the show, man. Good to hear your voice, man.
What's up?
Good to have you on.
Yeah, man.
Just watch your background noise because you know everything coming through the speaker. But glad to have you on. I'm going to go to MS.
Yeah,
so
just
went
right isolation.
No. I just want to hear what DJ C. Sirens' top three was. I don't think she finished.
DJ C. Sirens, what's your top three duos ever?
Come back to me. Let me think about it because I just wanted to say Illegal because I do love Illegal, but.
That can't
no
be your
knows.
Top three. We don't know that.
Look, I'm telling you, MX, this is what I live with. That's in her top three. Like, she's going to think of every...
No, I'll do some more research. There's some...
She's going to pick, like, J. Dilla and Slum Village. Like,
it's... Just not a duo.
How many of them? Didn't one of them, like, become
it's
a Muslim?
It was three rappers and a...
But didn't one of them find God and, like, denounce
yes,
rap?
Yes, Bot 10 did. It was always weird. Bot 10 did, but I love Bot 10. But
so now it's a duo.
Yeah. I'm saying...
My man Jay Gatsby,
welcome to the off ramp. Yeah,
Jay
man,
Gatsby.
Thank you for having
on,
me.
My brother? Hey, we're discussing
thank you for
top
me.
Duos.
And there's a little bit of blackness going on here.
Hey man, the floor is yours. Ed Maxson wants to know who's the best duo. What's everybody's best duos out there? What's your
top
best
three.
Duo?
That's
top
actually
top
easy. Outkast became number one after passing the number two. I don't think anybody mentioned it, and if you did, I stand corrected. It's Outkast. I'll go backwards. Mobb Deep 3, Run DMC 2, Outkast 1.
But is it Run DMC 3 people?
Well,
a DJ,
yeah.
And, a DJ and two rappers.
Yeah.
Jam Master Jay never uttered a word on a microphone as far as a rap.
But as a group, he was extremely, like, he was
okay, well,
part of
this,
that.
Okay, let me ask you this. What do we call him? What we call him? Gas, Great Gas?
Jay Gatsby.
Jay Gatsby.
So he's the,
if
who's
take,
the white
if you take,
who, who's the white dude who made that movie? The Great
yeah,
Gatsby.
It's the Great
who's
Gatsby.
That, who's that white man?
So,
Leonardo,
I don't know.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Gatsby.
DiCaprio.
So let me
there
ask you this.
Go ahead,
Jay Gatsby. If you take mm-hmm. Jam Master Jay away, are they still as great as they are?
They are, because no disrespect to the late, great Jam Master Jay, but we got to forget we're talking about duos, and all the duos that y'all mentioned are rappers, correct? He was just a DJ. Now, a great DJ at that, but you can plug another DJ in that just spins the records and shows and cuts up records on the record. I would say that Run and D actually made the group.
Okay.
I mean, they were duos on the microphone.
Yeah. I just wanted to, because some people make that same argument.
Cinderella
right?
did more rapping than
yeah.
Jam Master Jay did, and when we talk about Salt and Pepper, we don't even mention her name.
Right. And that's why I was asking, because I was ready to go right there. So.
It's because she was light-skinned.
They cut her out the group. So was Cheryl.
It's because the other two got fat. Cinderella stayed sexy. That was the problem with Salt and Pepper. Like, Cinderella stayed sexy. The other two guys, they put them, they ate some bacon. Shout out to my man Chrissy Bacon staying patiently on the line.
I don't know, that's hard, but let me name.
No offense, Salt and Pepper, if you're listening. I love y'all.
Yes, I'm
fat.
I guess I can name, definitely Outkast, definitely. I mean, are we counting Tribe as a duo, or is not.
So is Nairobi not part of the group?
Oh, come on, Jerobi. Whatever.
Jerobi?
Jerobi's never really been a part. Okay.
See, why are we
disrespecting them? They say it's four, so I guess not. Criss Cross.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Just, hey, you know, why not? And, and
you can't
your duo was whack. You put Criss Cross
yeah,
in front of UGK?
Yeah, why not?
list?
And, we'll just do, I don't know. Just
because
no one's
in
it. Like I said, I was yelling A-Ball MJG.
Okay. I mean, A-Ball MJG got a classic.
Yeah. They got classic.
You want to jump in there? Oh, go ahead. Hold on. Blur.
Nah.
Let me get to you, Blur. You've been quiet. Hold on, New York. Let me get the Blur, and then I'm going to come right back to you, New York. I'm sorry. You've been taking up a lot of time. Go ahead, Blur. Jump in.
Oh, all right. I'll go Kid and Play, Outkast, UGK.
Ooh. Kid and Play.
Oh, they got a whole movie.
They do.
That's a good list. I like it. I like it. And Play really won that rap battle. So was House Party about the rap battle? Was that about battle rap?
Right. I'm not going to have that argument with y'all.
So, New York, what you got?
Nah, I can't even answer right now. I'm underprepared for this.
Yo, you got to have – you're a huge rap fan. You got to have a list of your best duos, man. Who you got, Lil Baby and Baby?
See, that's the crazy thing. I listen to a lot of music, so I don't even know. I don't even know who to put at that list right now.
It's a lot
of music that you got suffering through. Like, that's like, we talk about what era we talking about? We talking about 90s, we talking about 2000s, we talking about now. Like, it's going on. It's too much.
But we just talking about duos.
That's it. New York, you're complicated. MX just said, who is your top three duos ever? You got to pick three. Come on. And then we got to go to Hov.
Just duo.
Did Hov already pick it? I think I'm going to.
Man. Damn, I don't even know. Yeah, come back to me. Yeah, if you go to Hov first, come back to me. All
right. I'm going to Hov, and I'm going to go to my man, Crispy Bacon. Crispy Bacon, I would love to know who your top three duos is. So, Crispy Bacon, get your list. Hov, who is your top three duos?
I mean, in order, I would say Outkast, UGK, and then Mobb Deep.
But UGK only has one great album, right? Like, I love that album. And again, I just found that album about 2 years ago, and I thought that Bun B was... Like, I was disappointed in his Big Pimpin' verse after I heard that album. But UGK only has one great album, right? Are we putting them in top three duos ever just because of that one great album, or is it just because of their influence on the South?
I mean,
I don't know.
If you ask me, I say it because I don't know of another duo that has a better album than that.
Yo, EPMD,
okay.
Like, I'm surprised.
Yo, I love EPMD. Look, El Nino was amazing. So, I'm with you on the Death Squad, actually, but there's a lot of great duos out there. So, let me go to my man, Crispy Bacon. Crispy Bacon, what is your top three duos ever? It ain't even got to be rap. I just want to hear your top three duos ever.
Ever?
Ever.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we've only been alive for about 40 years, bro. Well, you're a little shorter than me.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I totally Googled this, so I wouldn't sound like an idiot. Does the throne count when Kanye and Jay-Z went together for that one album?
Hey, that's it. I mean... It's tough.
You counted what's the name? You counted, it's like Red and Math, you counted M and what's the name? So, I mean, I guess it would count.
Yeah, it counts.
Okay,
it's your duos ever. It ain't got to be rap. I mean, if you got Miley Cyrus and Billy Ray Cyrus, throw it in there, bro. We good.
No, I'm not going to, like, hit you with, like, that old Country Road or whatever that song was. Like, that. I'm not going to do that. Sorry. Nah, Outkast is good. Did the Ying Yang Twins do anything by themselves, or were they exclusive with, like, Little John?
Oh, the Ying Yang Twins got a classic. I mean, I don't know how their entire album was, but they got hits as a duo. And they're like a legit duo. They're not like a duo that got put together. They were like brothers. Such a good list. Good list. All right, Chris.
But is Ying Yang Twins, I know you said they were always a duo, but were they a duo without Lil Jon, or they were just, well, he was just an added piece of it? Like, how does Lil Jon fit into the Ying Yang Twins?
I think Ying Yang Twins, watch our background noise. There's somebody back there with a lot of background noise, so. And it's coming from the show, so hit mute. Everybody hit mute on your phone just for a second. Testing. All right, cool. All right, so I was just getting a lot of feedback. So just watch yourself if you're listening to the show online. Just watch your phone as you unmute yourself. But the Ying Yang Twins had hits with Lil Jon, but they've also had. If you look at Ying Yang Twins, and I don't know why I randomly know this, but they've had music with like Trick Daddy, Trick Daddy's Miami producers. Like they have songs with Lil Jon that's been pretty big, but they have songs without Lil Jon that's pretty big too. He's just been a producer of most of their club hits. So, I mean, but
Lil Jon is not, I was just trying to figure out like how he fit in. So he's just the producer that produced their songs. He doesn't really fit in. They were a thing before Lil Jon, basically.
Yeah, yeah, they weren't ever in a group. He was just somebody who produced party club tracks with them.
Okay,
that's it. DJ C-Zion, what you got?
Black Star.
Black Star, Talib Kweli, and Mos Def.
Mos Def.
How many albums do they have?
No.
They only got one. So you putting them at the top duo list after just one album? So is Outkast easily number one because they have so many albums?
Yeah, I think so. Easily.
The Love Below and Speakerbox doesn't count, right? Because that doesn't.
Yeah, they put them together
as Outkast. But they only got two songs. There, I guess.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't count that one. I wouldn't count that one, but I still think they're definitely their chosen number one, though.
Okay. Man, yo, how did we get on this? We haven't discussed anything I wanted to talk about tonight. So are we all done with this duo conversation? Everybody's off mute. Anybody got anything left to say on this group rap conversation? Because we didn't get into anything to talk about, which is great. It means we're having a good conversation. Everyone's engaged. I love it. Anybody got anything left on the duo?
I mean, we mentioned Salt-N-Pepa, but we gotta say Salt-N-Pepa because they only got one good album.
Let's stop bringing female into it. Why are you being sexist? They're just not as good as these dudes.
Hey, my last comment, Beach Bum, is Naughty by Nature top 10?
Rap group ever?
Yeah, or duo. I think they're a duo. Yeah, from a duo standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, they got two classic albums.
Wasn't there three of them?
Watch y'all background noise. Do they have three? No. I don't think they have three classic albums. I think they have
the dude with the braids. It was Benny Trent and the dude with the braids.
Hey, ho, watch your background noise. You got an echo.
Well, there was three people in Naughty by Nature.
I don't know. Hey, Emmerich, what the hell's going on with Hov? That man sounded like he
hear,
abducted.
Yeah, he was asking about three people in Naughty by Nature. I didn't think they had – I thought it was just the DJ. I didn't think it was like the rapper. It was almost similar to what Jay Gaffney was saying about – what's the name?
Yeah, so there's definitely three people in Naughty by Nature, so two rappers in a group, but like the DJ, I mean, there was two rappers and a DJ, but the DJ never said a word. Like, they didn't even include him in anything. So that's why.
If you look on his album, there's three of them in the picture, yo. So they a trio. I don't know what he did, but he in the group.
KG is a producer. He produced and did all the music.
So
then he part of the group, yo. You on the bench, you still on the team.
Yeah, but we thought we threw out Run DMC, we threw out Jam Master J with Run DMC though.
I mean, I didn't agree. There's still three. If there's three of them on the album cover, it's three of them in the group. I don't care what they do in the group. Like, we won't know fully what they do, but it's three of them.
You're right. I can't disagree. So Naughty by Nature got to go out. See, look, unlike y'all, I can acquiesce to the rules. I get it. There was always promoted as three people in the group. So Naughty by Nature can't go into the best duos.
And neither can Run DMC then.
Neither can Run DMC. Jay Gatsby dropped off. He, my man on vacation. It was good seeing him. Like, we have real conversation, man. Like he's one of them people that, you know, I mean, we was always real. We always kicked it in college. He was a good dude. He hit me up and was like, yo, I'm out at the beach. Like, where you live at? I'm like, yo, I'm like 30 minutes away. I was like, yo, let me pull up. And got to see him. And I haven't seen him since college. And, you know, it was really good seeing him. We had a really good conversation. Talked about some business, but it was just good to see how he was doing in life, man. He's been through some struggles. He's been through, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, he's been through some turmoil, but it looks like he's got a beautiful whiz. He's got beautiful kids. And it was just great. It was great seeing him, man. And I look forward to hollering at him again, man. I know he's out of here tomorrow, but next time he comes in the area, you know, we'll plan some time to sit down and kick it, man. But he dropped off, but I know he back there listening. But I know he on vacation enjoying the beach, man, because we got good weather down here at the beach, man. Socks and sandals, Tommy Hilfiger time down here in Southeast Virginia. So, all right, so are we done with this duo conversation for now?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go to that submarine shit.
What'd you say? Submarine, okay.
Then you want to talk about a submarine?
Yeah, we got to talk about the submarine. So I got my man Crispy Bacon on here. My man, and it touched my heart because, like I said, I got friends from different walks of life, from, you know, different points of the earth that do different things, right? So I saw this story about Indonesia where the submarine just went missing. It just went out of contact, right? And I was like, yo, that just sounds crazy. But I got in Crispy Bacon's one of them, and I got another guy that I'm real close with that works on submarines where, like, you know what I mean? Like, he'll tell me, yo, I'm not going to talk to you for 3 months because I just got to, like, when we go into the submarine, like, there's no contact with, like, life. And we're just basically sitting in this part of the water waiting for the government to tell us to shoot a nuclear weapon at another country. Like, there's only one line in, and we just sit there for a month, or I think he told me it's like 60 days or whatever. And, like, thank God it hasn't happened. And they just sit there and just wait. Like, if something happens, they get a message. They shoot a weapon at wherever they're at, and it's on and popping, right? So then I see this story about the Indonesia military, and it's just like shit just went missing, and they didn't have any contact with them. And it's just like everybody on board, God bless their souls, they all, like, when these folks get on these submarines, it's scared to death. Because, again, I have friends that work in this industry, just scared because – if something goes wrong, like, it's the same reason why I fear a plane. If something goes wrong, like, you're fucked, right? Like, it's just, there's nothing else. It's one of those things, like, when people go to space, like, if something goes wrong, like, there's nothing you can do, which is why I would never go to space. I would never get in a submarine. So, like, that story really bothered me just because I got friends that work on submarines. And I wanted to bring my man Crispy Bacon on, man, just to see how your head's doing, man. I know you work on submarines, and I'm not going to put your business out there too much. But Crispy Bacon, man, how did that news hit you as a person who's on submarines?
I mean, it's pretty sobering. Like, that's pretty much everybody's worst fear. I mean, truthfully, If you're going to go out, that's one of the best ways to go because it's instantaneous. Like, at least they didn't suffer. but like every submarine that we have out there has an escape system on board that realistically would never be used because it's only good down to about 600 feet, and most of the water that we operate in is well deep of that anytime you're outside of 20 miles of land.
And I guess that's my question.
Hold on.
Like,
hold on. Say that again.
Every submarine has on board an escape system. Basically, you put on this what looks like a giant painter's outfit with a hood over the top. They pressurize it, and if you're 600 feet or less, you can use that as a way to escape to the surface. Just because it gives you a little bit of positive buoyancy, you exhale the whole way up so the air inside your lungs doesn't expand and blow your lungs, and you should be able to make it up there before your air runs out because it's still expanding the whole way up. But most of the time, the water that we operate in is thousands of feet deep, so if something bad happens, you're probably not going to be able to get off the boat.
Got it. Okay.
And like that's... Yeah. And that's crazy to me. So I guess, Chris Bacon, again, I don't want to make this a somber thing. Like, you know what I mean? I sent you a text when I saw that story. You know what I mean? Well, I sent you a coded message to let you know that, you know, you're my man. You know, I was thinking about you. So, like, is that something that when y'all train, y'all go into knowing that, like, yo, when we go thousands of miles deep, like shit's real?
So we don't actually... We don't operate on the bottom just because after a certain point, the pressure would get too much, and there's only a certain depth that we can go to before the hull will start to deform and ultimately get compromised. And that's why you saw the submarine in, like, multiple different pieces and debris scattered all over the place, because essentially they had explosive decompression happen, and it cracked the hull like an egg. It's something that you think about, especially like the first time that you dive, or like, for example, my boat, the Topeka, which is now out of Guam. When we came out of the yards up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, that first time that you go down, like, you know where all the holes were cut in the hull to repair machinery, and like you're just praying to God that whatever shipyard worker was actually doing the welding on there was paying attention and doing their jobs. And, like, they weren't gaffing off paperwork on any of the valves that are exposed to sea pressure. And, like, we had an incident here at NNS either 2 or 3 years ago where they found that one of the shipyard workers who was supposed to be auditing the welds and the hull integrity had just been, like, gaffing off the paperwork. And they ended up having to recall a few of the boats that had gone out that man's name was on there. And that's legitimately, like, the scariest thing is, we can rely on the people around us when we're down there because you're all in one boat. Like, you have a certain level of awareness that you doing something stupid and not paying attention could cost everybody on board their lives very quickly. But it's that person who really doesn't have any skin in the game that you got to worry about. And, like, you saw that up in New Hampshire when the Miami, which is a submarine up there, got lit on fire because some shipyard worker was worried about his girlfriend cheating on him and decided to light a fire on board so he could go home early. Like, that's the stuff that we really worry about. It's the stuff that's outside of our control.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's nuts, man. But I'm glad you always got your head on a swivel, man. I'm glad you're safe. I'm gonna make this a little bit more lighthearted, man. Just because.
So
I got a quick question.
The story that you were talking about, was that the joint where they were talking about there was a rescue mission, and they only had a certain amount of air. That's the same story.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I never knew what happened. So basically, the whole sub was like capsized or whatever you said, split like an egg. Like, that's what happened. That's the end of it.
Yeah, like we don't know what happened to the boat and why it ended up in the situation that it did. But they ended up finding it, I think, like a day after they would have run out of air in about 2,000 feet of water, which is definitely outside the operating envelope for that boat because they had some like a German boat that they had bought from them, and those boats are meant more for like coastal waters, and they don't operate that deep.
Okay.
Like it is crazy that like, and I watch y'all background noise too. It is crazy how when you're talking about buying war machines from separate countries, because I used to do that. Like as an accountant, I worked for. Hey, make sure y'all mute yourselves in the background. Cause I keep hearing the show in the background. It is crazy because I used to work for a company that sold. I keep hearing myself in the background. Hey, all y'all mute yourselves. They sold helicopters to different countries. And when you start buying, what's the best way to say it? When you start buying equipment from other countries, like our job, it wasn't even my job. My job was just to handle the paperwork of it. But like these guys were instructed to show them how it worked. So Crispy Bacon, of course you don't know because, you know, you're here with us. But like when these people are buying equipment from another country, like why didn't they read the instruction manual that said don't go 2,000 feet deep because the pressure is too much?
Oh, I guarantee you they did not go that deep by choice. Like, there's any number of things that could happen. Like they could have lost control of their control surfaces, or something happened with their high pressure air system, because the high pressure air system is what would allow them to put air into the ballast tanks and allow them to get up to the surface. Like if anything happened with that, where they're taking on water and they can't change the buoyancy of the boat, then they're just going to keep on sinking out until they decompress. Like they don't do that by choice. Even when we're trying to revalidate a hull after, like I was talking about sea trials, like we still only go to about 2/3 of our operating window. And that's as far as we're allowed to go, because after that point we end up buying the hull and it's no longer warrantied.
Yeah, that wasn't English. I don't know what any of that means.
Can you speak language? So basically when you're saying you're doing the sea trial, that's you just testing it out before you actually go into your real mission. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, correct. So, like, every boat that comes out of a maintenance availability in, like, say, here down at Norfolk Naval Shipyard or Newport News Shipyard, before they're allowed to do anything, any of the secret squirrel stuff that all the different maintenance that gets done, especially on systems that are exposed to sea pressure, what they'll do is they'll incrementally go down, like, 50 to 100 feet and look for leaks coming from the valve packing or any type of issue that they're having with machinery that's not operating the way that it should, just so that way you don't send a boat out to some country or way away from the continental United States with an existing problem that could have been found. Because like I was saying earlier, like we literally are dependent on people diligently doing their jobs and actually auditing stuff. So every so often something slips through the cracks, and you want to have that happen somewhere where you can actually get off the boat if something doesn't work out.
All right, so before I get silly, I'll open the floor to Blur, Wheezy, New York. Y'all got any questions for Crispy Bacon?
Thank you for your service.
I'm
going
to say nah, because
Go ahead, Wheezy. I'm going to let you jump in, and Blur, I'll let you go in.
That's my only comment. Thank you for your service. What these men and women do every day is commendable, and you know, all branches. And to be honest, submarines, that, you know, we talk to you know, our Army buddy all the time, and you know, we hear those stories. But you know, there's stories like that in every branch. So it's interesting to hear. It definitely puts things in perspective. So that's all I had to say.
Blur, you got anything to ask my man Crispy Bacon? That's such a funny name.
I'll echo the same thing. Thank you for your service. We got This is my first time hearing anything about this story. I didn't even – I totally missed that on the news about a submarine going down or coming up. I don't know the terminology. I mean, I watch a lot of movies and stuff. I was thinking, oh, you know, it's a nuclear sub. It's just like the Denzel Washington movie. I mean, Remember the Titans. So, yeah, I wasn't even – I was totally unaware about any of this.
Oh, my God. You just butchered that. That's Crimson Tide. Not Remember the Titans. Remember the Titans is a football movie. Jeez.
But wait, you telling me Remember the Titans is about football? I disagree.
I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm not. Look, I love you too much to even argue with you. I'm not taking a bait. I've known you all your life. New York, you got anything for my man Crispy Bacon before I start asking him dumbass questions about submarines?
Nah. Thank you for the knowledge. This is a teachable moment for me.
Alright. So my man Crispy Bacon. MX, you got anything? I know you were talking in between it, but I just wanna just double check.
Nah, I don't have anything now. I just think that's a pretty cool job, and I think that definitely. Thanks for the insight and the information. I did hear about it. I just didn't know what the hell it was and how all that works. But I do agree, though, you know what I mean, with your insight in terms of you relying on external people to make sure that you're safe. And that's one of the reasons why, even though I'm a government contractor, think that most things should be kept in-house from a military standpoint, because I think that when you do that and you rely on outside contractors, sometimes, you know, they can get lazy and not understand the full mission and worry about other things that that normal military people would not ever think about doing. So I think you kind of just kind of solidify my thought process around that whole why I think certain jobs and certain things should just be left to those who actually have skin in the game and not the outside contractor role, even though I make a shit ton of money in there as a contractor for the government.
Okay. Weezy, what you got?
Yeah, so I don't know if this is your – and forgive me if I'm derailing it a bit, but there's a lot of stuff coming out now with the aliens or the – UFOs or unidentified aerial phenomenon, and there was a recent article about how some UFOs were flying over nuclear submarines, and they actually shut down not the nuclear submarine, but they basically shut off the nukes or whatever that may be. You know, I'll just leave it at that. And you know, let's say it's aliens, let's say it's not, but two questions here. What are the chances that a foreign government would have that type of power to, you know, to turn off our nuclear submarines or to shut down that capability? And, you know, if you want to answer that question, sure. Or the other question, did aliens come down and shut down our ship? Like, either one, take your pick.
I can talk to both of those. So first one is more of a theoretical answer, because, like, obviously with everything else in your house, for example, with, like, a smart house, you have, like, cybersecurity issues that come in if you don't, like, actually make settings to your routers and change the passwords and that type of stuff. So they've been networking ships to shoreside. So all it would take really is something getting compromised on either end. And that could be as simple as like a circuit card having something extra. And that was one of the main reasons why there's so much demonization of technology coming from China, is because their military and their government own the means of production over there. We've caught them trying to like slip pieces of technology that aren't supposed to be on circuit cards in on those circuit cards, and it was only caught in quality checks or when they're going to replace a card that's having problems and they can't explain what a piece of equipment on there is. So that's where a lot of the contracting comes from, and all it takes is something getting slipped through or somebody not acting in good faith. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've seen any number of news articles talking about, like, so-and-so got caught doing espionage for China. So, like, is it likely? I would hope not. I haven't heard of anything that points to them having done anything to that extent. But if they had the capability, I very much doubt that they would expose it now as opposed to when it would actually do them some good.
Okay. Sounds good. Anybody got anything else?
As far as the UFOs go, I have no knowledge of any of that. Like, I can't help you out on that one. No, I'm not. Like, I don't know anything about that. I don't know nothing about it. Nobody. I think the Pentagon is supposed to be doing a release of all the information they have for basically like the last 25 years or so. I think sometime in June. So that should be some information in there to parse through.
Hey, so have
yeah,
you
thank
ever
you
been
for,
to the...
for that.
Hey, man, stop checking up, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, have you ever...
No, so what... go ahead, Beachum. Go ahead. You take it.
Like,
your show.
Can we get... I just want to ask regular questions, right? Like, have we ever seen the bottom of the ocean? Like, is there a bottom of the ocean, or is it just, like, magma?
No, there absolutely is a bottom of the ocean. If you go to the beach
you
and
cut
walk
my question
in the water,
off for
you're,
that,
you're
for that question?
You're asking him about aliens, yo. Who gives a fuck about aliens? Well, I will get to aliens.
I mean, that's pretty relevant.
No, I don't know if you're keeping up with it, but the Pentagon is coming out with a statement about these unidentified aerial phenomenon and whatever shut off our nuclear submarine, and I'm trying to figure out which is scarier if they come out and say, you know what, it's not aliens, it's actually Russia who has way better technology than us, and they know how to shut off our nukes. That is, you know, that's end of the dynasty type stuff. So I think that's highly relevant.
Well, I get that, but aliens ain't going to live in our ocean, because then they wouldn't be aliens. They'd just be Earthians that just live in the ocean, which is what I want to get to, is what the fuck have you seen at the bottom of the ocean? Because I think that's fascinating. I don't know if submarines have windows or not, but I would like to know, like, if you looked out the window and saw, like just a weird-ass animal, you thought, hey, I shouldn't have took that Percocet.
So we don't have windows on board at all. It's all steel and glass-reinforced plastic. The only thing that we have to physically see off the boat are the periscopes, and those we don't use outside of 150 feet underwater.
So once you get past 150 feet, you see nothing.
We have sonar systems that give you an idea of what's going on in like a 360-degree sphere around you. And based off the return of – it's just like dolphins. We literally copied what dolphins do to navigate our way around the water and make sure we don't hit anybody.
So what's the weirdest thing you've, like, ever, like – I guess sonar, I guess it's what you hear. It's not what you see. But, like, what's the weirdest thing that you've had to, like – go through miles below the sea?
How is it that I could talk about a few things. Like, there are some things where it would cause an international incident legitimately if certain countries knew some of the stuff that we do, which is part, like, going back to our original discussion, is one of the scary things about our jobs is that if there is a casualty on board, by that, like a fire, flood, something like that, where you need to get up to the surface, you potentially end up giving away your position, and you got to weigh the potential damage that would cause on whether or not you actually need to get up there. What was your original question?
Damn, that's
I got sidetracked.
I know what you're saying, and that's crazy as hell. Like, you got to weigh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, is this person's life worth giving our position away? But, like, have you ever been at the bottom of the sea and thought, like, hey, there goes a Korean sub. We can sink y'all right now, but we're just going to, like, ride on by.
You ain't got to answer that.
Definitely. I'll answer it in a serious way. How's that? I've definitely sat there with, like, countries doing naval exercises, having no idea that we're there. I've done exercises with other countries where they're trying to find us and we get to hunt them. It's pretty fun. Sucks for them, but not for us. I've been to the North Pole, went through the Panama Canal. North Pole was probably the scariest thing that I did as a boat, because, like, if you have a problem up there, there's nobody coming up there to help you. And when we went up there, like, the ice pilots that we had, so, like, the people who are supposed to know what the fuck they're doing, they actually didn't. And so they thought we were going up through, like, 2 feet of ice, and we ended up trying to go up through about 9 feet of ice, which is generally not going to work out all that well, and we thought we possibly broke the rudder. And when we went up topside, we weren't able to get the hatches shut, and we had somebody who wanted to re-enlist, and then we had somebody dressed up as, like, Santa Claus with a lantern on the end of, like, a long, like, paper towel roll to be, like, the North Pole as a joke. And because that hatch wouldn't shut, the heat coming out of the boat was actually melting the ice that was over the top of the submarine, and we started ingesting a bunch of water to the point where the boat started sinking out from being compacted up against the ice sheet. And we had about, like, 20 people on the ice. We got, like, salt water coming into the boat. We blew out one of the transformers up forward and lost all power. Like, it was touch and go there for a couple hours. It's probably the only time that I've seen, like, guys who had been on the boat for about 20 years, they actually start to shit their pants.
Damn.
Wow. So, like, I just got a quick question, because now this shit's kind of interesting. So, like, I know we've all seen the movie, like, Abyss and all those other crazy movies, and this kind of just goes back to being that deep in the ocean, right, where, like, you just don't know what animals are really out there. Are you going to run into that giant squid or whatever the hell else that, you know, movies portray? And so is there any facts to those kind of the giant sea creatures, and how, with sonar, have y'all, like, you know, ran into that shit, like, where, you know what I mean, like, you just, like, yo, what the hell is that? It's a big object, I guess it's a fish, but it's huge as shit, and we should avoid it? Or have you ran into any encounters where an actual sea creature has tried to actually, like, bump, or has bumped into, like, the sub when it's down at that level?
So if you're asking if any whales have tried to have sex with my submarine, and that's what I know of.
The gravest part.
Like, normally we're not transmitting on active sonar unless we're getting ready to come up to the surface, just because it's a safety issue where if, say, there's a fishing boat out there that we can't hear. We actually had an issue with a Japanese ship, I think back in the 90s, where they went up through one of their fishing vessels and, like, killed, like, 20-something students. But otherwise, we're just sitting there passively monitoring. And so, like, we can hear nature going on. Like, let me tell you, shrimp are the most annoying fucking things to listen to for hours on end when nothing else is going on in the water. It's bad. And as far as other, like the bigger stuff, I know that they have submarines. Like, there's a guy, I don't know what the technical term is for an ocean explorer, but his name's Robert Ballard, and he has, I think his exploration submarine has the record for going down about, like, 10,000 feet, which is absolutely insane. I can't even imagine what was going through those guys' minds when they did that. But he's the guy that, if you ever see anything about, like, the wreck on the Titanic, the Bismarck, or any of the other shipwrecks out there, he's probably the one who went down there in his submarine, which does have a giant-ass window in the front for them to actually look around.
Wow.
What the fuck does Shrek sound like? Like, I've never even known that they made a noise. Like, how the... That's an interesting fact. Like, that's a trivia fact, actually. Like, what sound does a Shrek make?
That's crazy.
Well, like, have you ever seen
YouTube
a
right
Shrek when it's still got its shell and it hasn't been, like, deveined and there's still, like, all the legs on it?
Yeah.
So, when
so like, all those are constantly moving around and, like, clicking against the shell and it ends up sounding like something like... Something like that.
Really?
Hey, Chris yep. Eubanker, when we get back on the choreo, that's going to be our play. I'm going to make you do the shrimp noise.
Come on, man. Yeah, they're going to think I'm having, like, epilepsy, like some kind of fucking stroke.
That's crazy.
All right.
Fucking shrimp making the most annoying sound.
So my question is this. And I don't know your relationship status. I don't want to cause any trouble. Feel free not to answer. Is sex different at 2 miles below sea level?
I wouldn't know. It was an all-male crew. I do know that some people did partake in that, and it was kind of annoying because we ended up having to rewrite the watch bill because it turns out that, like, dudes end up having drama with each other, especially when one of them's married, and, it, like, I don't know, maybe he was confused and that was his way of, like, testing it. I guess it was, like, prison rules. Like, it's not gay if you're underway, but it kind of is because, like, you put something up your ass or you let somebody put something up your butt, it's kind of gay. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. And not kind of gay. That is the definition of gay.
Listen, man, I don't know what is going on these days, but, like, my ex, like, her, the dude that she was with before, liked putting shit up his ass, and he also liked doing stuff with her. So I don't fucking know.
I never understood the fascination with assholes. Like, that's where shit comes out. Like, every time I take a shit, I think of myself, like, if DJ C-Siren put anything near my asshole, I'd sock him. It'd be the only time I hit a woman. Like, stay away from my butthole. Exit on.
I agree with that. But so hold on. So when they decide, yeah, what did y'all do? Did y'all just have to get out? Like, or y'all, they were just trying to do it in secret? Like, there can't be that many places to hide.
There's, like, an office here or there, and they did it in one of the offices.
Why are you asking details on gay sex?
I'm just, not the gay sex. I'm talking about where would you be? Like, because, I mean, you're on a ship below the ocean. You can't hide. Like, where are you hiding? Like, I mean, I don't want to see that shit, nor do I want to hear it. Like, I'm assuming, like, what the fuck happened? Like, where the hell did you go that nobody else is at?
Hey.
Like, I mean, like, that's crazy. That's bold as shit.
Hey, you know what? I shouldn't even ask
bottom
that
line disrespectful.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
hey,
it's disrespectful to me.
Crispy Bacon, I appreciate you coming on, man. I appreciate you getting peppered with questions and answering everybody's questions. We got to get ready to get out of here, man. Hey, I'm appreciate that you're alive, man. I'm glad we're friends. I'm glad we got a good relationship, man. I was really touched by reading that article, man. And I'm glad you're safe out there. Continue to be safe. Like Weezy said, thank you for your service, man. But we got to get out of here, man. Anything you want to say to the people, Crispy Bacon, feel free to join us anytime.
No, I just appreciate y'all. Like, anytime you got any questions, like, the only dumb question is one that's not answered. So.
My man, hey, make sure you get in that corner and get that jumper working. We got to get back. We got to get back to this title game.
Please. You got to be able to handle these passes. You got to be ready in the post. Let's go.
Yeah, my man. Weezy, you got anything to say to people before we roll?
Yeah, Pentagon's gonna come out with some stuff about these UFOs. I know you brushed me off, but keep your ear to the news. Either we're gonna hear something about some crazy phenomenon that's actually real, or somebody out there in the world has better technology than we do. And I don't know which one is scary. So keep your eyes out. Eyes open, ears open.
I didn't brush you off. I do believe there's aliens. I just don't believe they're in the sea. So I was just trying to keep the question.
No, so yeah, they were flying. They were flying, and then at like a ridiculous speed, and then they were able to enter the ocean without breaking stride and then come right back out and disappear. So it's almost as if, you know, if it's another country with that type of technology where they've got aircraft that can go faster than our aircraft, enter the water without breaking stride and then come right back up, like that's and turn off our nuclear subs, you know, that's going to be a game changer. So one way or another, keep that up. And you didn't brush me off, but you know I'm messing with you.
Yeah, it's all love. See, I didn't know that it went into the ocean. I thought they just found the passcode, like in Spaceballs, where he was like, one, two, three, four. Oh, man. Hey, Ambassador, you got anything to say to people before we roll?
Nah, man. Good show. Good.
Hey, man, we didn't even get to talk about – I really want to talk about if good men make women lazy. And we get no time for that tonight, but that's why I love the show. I guess we'll get to that next week. New York, New York. Well, let me go to Blur. Blur, you got anything to say to the people before we roll?
No, man, great show. Thanks for having me on. You know, the hip-hop conversations always going to get people going. I mean, I do – oh, you know what? To anybody who's wondering, which I probably sure no one is, Chadwick Boseman did not get robbed at the Oscars. He was great in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, definitely one of the top performances of the year. But he didn't deserve the Oscar. Whatchamacallit, Homeboy and Father was amazing, untouchable. Was, I mean, clear cut. But other than that, nah. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Titties. Shout out to Denzel Washington, man, making that movie where he came out of he was a gangster. He was a gangster dude leading all those people. Malcolm X, that's the one. That one. So yeah, shout out to him.
But you want to shout out to is Titty around?
Nah, man, Titty's not around right now.
He's just gonna shout Titty out. Hey. I love titties, so I'm not mad at you. DJ C. Siren. Look, we might have to talk about the Oscars. DJ C. Siren is a big fan of the Oscars. She tried to make me watch it. I still don't understand the fascination about watching a show about people getting awards that you didn't vote on. Like, I don't understand why people care about that. It doesn't make sense in my head. I can't calculate in my brain.
It's the same thing as saying who won an
SB. I don't care about that either.
Or who won a Heisman Trophy.
I don't care about either.
Yes, you do.
When's the last time I made you sit down and watch the Heisman?
Last year.
No, it wasn't. I don't care. If I'm home, I'll watch it just to see who wins. But I don't, like, they always give it to a quarterback. There's a whole lot of times where the best player in college football is a defensive player, but they just don't care. They just give it to a random quarterback.
Win?
Yeah, whatchamacallit won this year? Was it Devontae Smith?
I think
it might have been Devontae Smith. But
it was.
You know
Devontae
I mean?
Smith won.
Yeah, he's an Eagle now. He's an Eagle now.
LSU,
but you need to care.
Brown should have won it this year. That kid was a monster. But, you know what I mean? But, like, who cares? Like, I never
he's an Eagle now. You're going to care, bro.
About awards that other people vote on. But that's just me. It's okay. So, DJ C. Siren, you got anything on the Oscars with – little Blur before we get out of here?
I really can't speak on it, but it was just kind of a...
Oscars was real Chinese. Oscars so Chinese. And I love Chinese people. Don't get mad at me. I'm not for Asian. I love General Tso's chicken. I know that's not even Chinese. I love Panda Express. I don't know if that's Chinese or not. I'm a fan of Kung Fu movies. I don't want Chinese people to get
mad at me.
You're
making it worse.
And Wu-Tang.
I love Chinese. Have I ever dated an Asian? I don't think I've dated an Asian. Well, DJ Hisari, you're Viking. That's close to Asian. That's that continent. Did y'all know Russia was Asian?
On Asia. Anyway.
I love Asia.
Good night.
I love San Francisco.
Good night.
All right. New York, the floor is yours, my brother. Hey, next week we're going to talk about if good dudes make women lazy, because I think they do.
And TJ Cesar is going to be mad at me. Rest in peace, Black Rob. Rest in peace, Shock G. I want to talk about who's got the best fake nose ever, Shock G or Kim Kardashian. We didn't get to that. The NFL draft, we didn't really get to talk to. They increased minimum wage. I don't care about Kevin Samuels. We talked about that. So, can you ever beef at a wedding or a funeral? I want to talk about that. So we'll get to those topics next week. Crispy Bacon, thanks again for always joining us, man. What the hell is going on back there? Always good hearing your voice, man. Glad you're safe. Blur, thanks for joining us. DJ C Siren, M Extra Money, Weezy, Hove. Thanks for all the contributions. Good show tonight. Jay Gatsby, thanks for calling in. We're going to wrap. We got business to talk about together. Good seeing you this weekend. New York, the floor is yours.
Well, look, we'll start off by saying this. Panda Express is trash. I had the white rice for them. It was clumped together. I had to go spit it out. It was nasty. Couldn't do it no more.
Sticky rice.
Yeah. Other than that, as far as aliens is concerned, yo, I don't think we should be calling them aliens. I feel like that's disrespectful. Especially we don't know who we dealing with right now. So yeah, I mean, I don't think we should be calling them that. Other than that, shout out to Crispy Bacon, y'all. I mean, that's a fire name. I don't know what Chewy Bacon is, Crispy Bacon all the way. But shout out. Shout out.
Yo, you are. Yeah. You sound like you in the summer.
Nah, we in some good. We got the good herbal essence in the sky. But shout out to Crispy Bacon, y'all. And everybody on the submarine trips. Other than that, because I have a hard time getting across the water on cruise ships. But other than that, yo, shout out to you. Yeah, you know I mean, you make it happen.
New York, I love you. I love you, bro, man. I hope you stay alive tonight. I don't know what you got going on back there. I don't know what y'all just make sure y'all be safe, man. Always good hearing everybody's voice, man. We'll get together next week. Oh. You're got that fire. Because he started choking. Usually you sleep.